Rob, starting with you, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Rob.
Why you're here.
I'm researching a creative writing project. I haven't done any writing in a while, but the research is fun, so there we go.
Let's see, I'm Chris. I don't know, I'm really into today's topic of life extension.
I'm Gabriel, and I'm interested in the general topic as a whole.
My name is Brittany, and similarly, I just stumbled upon this, and I wanted to find out more.
My name is Victor. I've been interested in this topic a long time. I'd see what you've got to say.
I'm Cameron, and I'm really good at procrastinating, so if you're going to take that to the next level,
My name's Brian. I like hearing different people's perspectives on stuff.
My name's Sarah, and I'm here to spread illegal childlike joy.
My name is Libby, and I have a problem. And it is that I do everything that Willow does, because we are red versus blue. So I'm here to support her.
Thank
in
you.
Her longevity and whatnot.
That's dirty.
So far, so good.
Hi, I'm Gavin. I am new to the area, and I'm here out of pure curiosity.
Excellent.
My name is Baron, and I enjoy discussing interesting topics with intelligent people.
Come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
I will actually probably defer to someone who's more interested in life extension itself to sort of start conversation. I have become a bit of cynic when it comes to this, and so I would prefer it if we started off on a happy note and went from there. Yay, positivity! So
you become a cynic, why?
There's a very accurate quote that says, many who long for immortality don't know what to do on a rainy day. And I think many who long for immortality don't know what to do on a rainy day. And as someone who uses every day to the max, I probably get about 4 hours of sleep a night, if that. Part of that is insomnia, but part of that is also, I have a lot of shit to do. And while I would like to, I would like to keep going for as long as I would like at the pace that I go now. But I think that there are a lot of people in this world that have this ideal of immortality that don't fill every moment they have now. They're not living their own lives, so why give them more? That's why I'm a cynic.
So you want it for yourself, but no one else?
Oh no, I don't want it for myself. I would like a longer youth if it's available to everyone else. I believe in therapy, not advancement, but
what
I believe
you just
in
said.
Huh?
Don't stab her.
Don't stab her.
Well, I think that especially in the cases of extended life, that you'll find that the people who don't really use what we already have to the full extent, when given a 50-year bonus, will just kind of fade, because especially in the early days of what will become life extension, I mean, it's going to take a desire to do something, like a desire to move. That's the thing that's going to propel us forward. And if you can't even get up your butt on a normal basis, then it's just not going to happen. So I mean, I'm concerned about people getting life extension that don't really deserve life extension, or they don't really live their life, isn't really going to be a concern, because it's not really going to be like life extension, because they'll just have the time and they'll just kind of wither down anyways, I think.
Okay.
So you think that it will be distributed based on will and not on like financial means?
Well, I mean, when you get into those really complex kind of, I mean, living for a really long time would put people in a really complex psychological state. You know, we're used to seeing things move at a certain rate. I mean, there's
a cycle.
Time. Yeah.
Right.
And to make that jump to where you watch things fall apart around you, as opposed to, I mean, really on a geological or even, you know, biological scale, we're short-lived creatures. You know, and our psyches, our chemical structures are meant to deal with that. So if we start to do that, I mean, it's going to take, you know, it's as much a psychosocial thing as it is a financial, chemical, medical thing. I mean, there's, it's not just getting the medicine or the chemicals to the people. Chemicals are everywhere. I mean, given enough information, anybody can make chemicals out of anything. So at any point, if it's chemical, you can break free of that financial barrier, given enough time, given enough information. But the will to do it, the will to watch everyone die around you, to watch, you know, cities die, that's...
So you're saying the major challenge is psychological?
The major challenge is definitely psychological. Yeah.
One example of that, of course, is one of Hyland's books, Lazarus Long. He's the oldest man in the universe. There's one book just about how he's bored. And, you know, his friends have to kind of come up with things for him to do because he's just done everything in the universe to do. So, but, you know, and of course, they do come up with interesting things.
Well, that'd be a great problem to have.
Exactly, yeah. You know, but another perspective is like, you know, you said you see civilizations come and go, and, you know, I was thinking recently that, like, the dinosaurs lived almost 100 million years ago, Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? And we didn't get to see it. So, like, what would happen in 100 million years? You know, it's like, there's all this stuff out there that, you know, you're just not going to get to see. And I think that's a pretty good incentive. Like, if somebody could tell you that, you know, if you just stick around for a few million more years, you'd get to see the next, you know, whatever a dinosaur is, you know, you'd be the dinosaur, I guess.
Well, humankind, I think, is constantly surrounded by the fantastic, and we somehow manage to always make it commonplace. I think that quote that you said there, you know, wasted on those who are bored on rainy. Was that it? Those who are bored on a rainy day?
Many wish for immortality that are bored on a rainy day.
Bored on a rainy day. I mean, like, we are constantly surrounded by the fantastic. If any of us can be bored on a rainy day, I mean, with so many amazing things that exist in this universe, what's to say that anything else that you can say is going to pique somebody's interest? I mean, if you're bored on a rainy day, you're going to be bored because you're bored. Just because that's...
So basically a self-selection process. There's some people that aren't going to bother, and there's some people that will.
Yeah.
I think one counter to that, though, is like, you know, who here would raise their hand to die tomorrow? I mean, it's like...
I think that there's... I come from a very odd background that has dealt with death a lot differently than other people have. And so when you say who would be okay with dying tomorrow, I would raise my hand. Do I want to die tomorrow? I have too much shit to do. You know, I have too much stuff that other people are relying on me for. But I am not as petrified of the abyss as I found other people are. And so I think that that's not necessarily a good question, because anyone is going to say no because they think about all the things that they have on them right then.
Well, I mean, if you could choose to die at any point, you know, why tomorrow? Why not, you know, a few thousand years from now? Or whenever you choose, in some sense, as opposed to being stuck with, like, you know, I think cancer kills 25% of people, heart disease another 25%, and then, you know, other random things.
So is it a fear of death, or is it actually a quest for life?
I think it's more a quest for life. I mean, I think it's just the fact that since we're so close to actually now being able to actually fix these problems, I mean, it's like, you know, maybe 1,000 years ago we didn't have technology, and you know, there was even no hope of curing cancer or heart disease or whatever, or transplanting a heart, and then, you know, maybe live for the day, fine. But now it's like when it's within your grasp, that I think you should go for it.
Well, I mean, one of the truths about cancer per se, I mean, the studies, the statistics, the numbers show that the average rate of prostate cancer in any male, given a long enough time, is 100%. It's not 90%, it's not 75%, it's not like some small, you know, it's 100%. Every male on this planet will get prostate cancer given enough time. So to say, you know, we're close enough to getting rid of X issue or Y issue given enough time, we're close enough to opening up the possibility for more issues given enough time. I mean, it's not a goal. The future tomorrow is not some shining fairyland that you go to and everything's perfect and wonderful and tropical and blah. It's a constant process.
I think we should definitely talk about the singularity at one of our meetings. So I think that would be an awesome concept just to bat around the table. As a total tangent, please go ahead.
I'm totally trying to stay away from rising to that comment right now.
That's not even a tangent. You know, I really want to look at, you know, all the things leading up to, what we're all looking at.
One of the original concepts of the singularity was actually, you know, really traumatic and terrifying, and 90% of the population dies. And so maybe you just want to extend your life long enough to get to a point where you watch everything burn and you burn with it.
I think a lot of that is just what you project into it. That almost sounds like, you know, there's a rap and only so many people are making everybody else burn.
Well, that's biology right there. I mean, anything that man does is just another natural act. Therefore, our technology is just another natural act. And everything follows laws of causality. And, you know, it's not only so many people make it because only so many people are good. It's only so many people make it because that's the statistical physics of the matter. You know, only so many people make it.
What are you talking about? Statistical physics of the matter, you know, depends on, you know, how you're modeling it. I said, there's no rule that says that
I'm talking about natural selection, and that was the whole thing. The whole concept of singularity is like, man as to nematodes, whatever comes after that as to man. I mean, like, a shitload of nematodes had to die for you to be here right now, and for one singularitarian to be on the other side of that point, a shitload of people are going to have to die. It's just one of those, like, that's how it works.
Okay, I know this is really difficult.
We're off topic.
Yeah, I know it's really difficult to talk about life extension without talking about the singularity and how we're going to deal with that, but...
Something to bring that back, I guess, is like, you know, if that is something you're worried about, you know, there are survivalists who, you know, have built fallout shelters, you know, in the backyard and, you know, have stockpiles of food and so on. So, I mean, you can plan for the singularity as well. Your goal is to live longer. So it's just a matter of planning.
But actually, that's that just made me realize something, is that, you know, living forever does, you know, remove you from natural selection. If there is something wrong with you, and we fix it, those genes will still go back to the gene pool as long as you want to breed for thousands and thousands of years. So, I mean,
that's a great point. I mean, is it really natural selection if you're controlling the selection?
There are always pressures.
Well, you'll find that in any system where we mess with it and we try to make it better, if there are errors, they tend to build up mathematically and to the point where they tend to crush whatever we... I mean, things happen. They just happen. You know, we can fix things, but things continue to happen, which, you know, brings me back to that whole process thing. You're not living forever. You're continuing to live.
All that we've ever done is remove a cause of death. I like the idea of curing death, but... it's sort of like when you say you have a cold, all you're diagnosing are the symptoms. You're not diagnosing the virus itself, if that makes sense. You can't cure the virus. We still don't have a cure for the common cold, but we can treat the symptoms. And so we start removing accidents, which is the number one killer. And then you start diagnosing and treating the things that are killing people at a certain age. And as you remove those, then other things start cropping up, and you start getting prostate cancer later on. But there's also a